Hello, I'm David Bailey and welcome to Social Military, a new podcast here on Defence IQ where over the coming months I'll be looking at social media and how it relates to military operations. I'll be speaking to commanders on the ground for their thoughts about it, hopefully finding out how social media will be used in future strategic communications plans, how soldiers are using platforms and tools such as Twitter and Facebook to tell their families back home how it is on tour without breaking OPSEC, and if social media can be used as a target audience influence tool. There's a lot planned already, but if you have any questions or observations, please let the Defence IQ team know, and I'll do my best to get an answer. At the moment, I'm here in Kabul. I'm sitting in my Corrimac at the moment. I'm here with ISAF, and for this first podcast, I catch up with renowned German defence journalist and blogger Thomas Wiegold, who's been here on a visit.
Well, he is a journalist first, and a blogger, and I would like to say blogging is a part of journalism for me. So, if you don't read German, probably you won't know me. You can try on augengeradeaus.net. Augengeradeaus is a German word which is a military command, eyes front, as well meaning looking ahead or look at the future. So I choose this for a double meaning, concentrating on defense and military affairs from a German perspective.
What is your view about social media and its power insofar as how it supports you in your particular job as a defense journalist?
It supports me quite a lot. I'm doing this blog, I'm on Facebook, I'm doing Twitter, and it's all connected. So when I blog, it gets out on Facebook at the same time on Twitter. And I get a lot of feedback from people within the armed forces who read this and who see a way to comment on my stories, to retweet, to reply, as a way to express themselves about things in their professional daily life.
We'll be talking about the military aspects as far as you see it in a minute, but what made you want to go onto Twitter and become a Facebook person? A lot of people think it's silly, it's immature, it's rather naive, and it's going nowhere.
No, I think that's nonsense. Of course, you have those people who Twitter what they had for breakfast, who put on Facebook their cat photos, who have blogs on their cats and their dogs. Okay, fine with me, but I think these are tools to convey a message, to inform people, because you have all this various possibilities of writing, of taking still photographs, doing video, doing podcasts, the whole bunch, it's all there. And that's just a chance. And the other point is, if you see the generation of my readers, which is from 20 up to 35, maybe 40, those people, what they don't find online doesn't exist for them. And so you have to offer them something which they can find online.
Now, the military have two issues with social media at the moment. One is the interaction that soldiers have and an operational security aspect to that. And the other aspect where they're trying to look forward and use social media to make other people more aware of what they do. If we can go back to the first part, what is your feelings about the operational security element of soldiers being able to interact, for example, with you in the blog and being on Facebook? Is it as bad? Is it such a risk as most of the NATO military will tell us it is?
I don't think so. I think it's a matter of common sense applied to this profession, common sense applied to the armed forces. I think most of the soldiers are well aware what they can tell and what they can't, what's an OPSEC risk and what isn't. And the fine line is sometimes where people in defense ministries think it's OPSEC, but in truth it's just embarrassing for them. My standard example is if someone tells me that a company is running out of toilet paper. Well, is that OPSEC or is it just embarrassing for the guy who is in charge? And I think it's embarrassing for the guy who is in charge. So it's not an OPSEC point.
When you go and search Twitter, you'll find all sorts of Twitter names now that are being operated by the military. For example, here we have ISAF Media, there's Afghan Matters, the Supreme Allied Commander Europe himself, James Tafridis, is a Facebooker and a Twitterer. What sort of power will Twitter bring to the military by them being able to use these very succinct 140 character sentences and phrases?
Well, if they do it right and if they're open to it, it will bring them tremendous success, because it's the easiest way to inform those people who are interested. For instance, I choose the people I follow on Twitter carefully, and if something happens in Afghanistan, that's the first way I learn about it, usually on Twitter when I'm back home in Berlin. So I have my Twitter